As I saw the topic for today's program, I quickly recalled that my mother was one of 12 children. Brother David Johnson's sermon topic for today is found in Genesis chapter 17, verses 17 through 20, and it is simply, Father of 12 Rulers. We can be sure that this will be interesting. This is the Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus. We now present singing in praise of our Lord. Father, When we look at all that you have created, we marvel, but this is only a small portion of your majestic holiness and what it will be like to live with you forever. For this, we worship you. Please use this program for your glory and help us to reflect that we know you. Bless each of our listeners with peace, health, and a right relationship with you. World leaders need to know you are God. We pray this will happen. And Lord, when you have finished with us here upon this earth, please take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Father of 12 Rulers.
It's good to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Father of 12 Rulers. And our main text is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. Please listen to the Word of God. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation." This is the word of God. Often, our news headlines are dominated by radical Islamic terrorists targeting innocent civilians. In the Bible, especially the Old Testament, the focus is on God's original, uniquely chosen covenant people, Israel, the Hebrew or Jewish people. Increasingly, the tendency in America and in Western, even Eastern Europe, in places like France, Belgium, United Kingdom, and Germany, there is growing suspicion of a negative attitude toward all Arabs or Mideasterners who generally are Muslims and often anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, and anti-Western civilization. However, many of our impressions and opinions regarding all Arab Mideastern peoples, past, present, and future, are mistaken, misguided, including truth as revealed in the Bible. As Christians, we need to maintain a biblical mindset, not a worldview often based on misinformed emotions rather than biblical truth. We'll consider some vexing questions. For example, is God's wrath on all Arabs? Are all Arabs lost spiritually and without hope? Are all Arabs Muslims? Will Arabs ever be a blessing on this earth? Will Arabs and Jews ethnically ever worship together toward the one true God of the Bible? What should a Christian's attitude toward Arabs and Muslims be? Let's consider some common misunderstandings. For example, are all Arabs Muslims? According to a recent World Almanac and Factbook, Egypt, officially the Arab Republic of Egypt, has about 7.6 million Arab Christians. Syria, officially the Syrian Arab Republic, has about 2.2 million Arab Christians, even though many are fleeing. Lebanon, another nation in the Middle East, has about 1.6 million Arab Christians. Iraq has about 955,000 predominantly Arab Christians. The nation of Jordan has about 389,000 Arab Christians. Even in the nation of Israel, the modern nation of Israel, there are about 154,000 Christians that are predominantly Arab Christians. It's true that many, probably most of these Christian populations are leaving their native countries, where they've been raised and buried their families for centuries. In fact, many of these ethnic Arabs and families have been Christians long, long before any Christians were in Western Europe or any part of Europe or America. Today, thousands, even tens of thousands of these Arab Christians are being massacred, maltreated, and marginalized, and have been for many generations because of their faith in Christ Jesus. It's also true that these Christian populations in these Arab countries and in Israel are proportionately small minorities. Yet in just these six countries, it amounts to almost 13 million Christians, which equals about every man, woman, and child in the American state of Illinois, which of course includes our third largest American city, Chicago. Some may think, well, they're just cultural, professing Christians. Sure, some are, just as they are in Europe and in America. But these Arab Christians are dying and suffering for their faith and have been for generations for identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. They could convert to Islam, and undoubtedly many have. But these numbers of Christians still persist under usually terrible persecution of all types. They are persecuted spiritually, physically, emotionally, and economically. Also, for example, it's a popular, widespread belief that all Muslims are Arabs. That is simply not true. According to the World Almanac, Indonesia in Southeast Asia, a Malay people ethnically, is the most Muslim nation on earth, at about 222 million Muslims. Pakistan in Southwest Asia has about 185 million Muslims, with many non-Arab ethnic groups in that country. India, towards Southwest Asia, has about 125 million Muslims, predominantly an Indo-Aryan people, not Arabs. Iran in the Middle East has about 80 million Muslims, and they are not Arabs. They are Persians. They don't speak Arabic. They speak Persian or Farsi. So these four large non-Arab countries outnumber the largest Arab Muslim nation of Egypt, with about 77 million Muslims. So not all Arabs are Muslims, and not all Muslims are Arabs. So certainly not all Arabs are lost spiritually and without hope. God's wrath is not towards all Arabs. Some are Christians, including American Christian Arabs and Christians of other ethnic groups, even in the Middle East. There are other amazing truths recorded, revealed, and preserved in Scripture that explode popular, widespread opinion regarding Arabs. For example, most would expect a close ethnic connection between Iraqis and Iranians, which are two Middle Eastern nations that border each other, who also recently had a very bloody war against each other. However, the ancient former name of Iran, officially the Islamic Republic of Iran, was Persia. They are ethnically predominantly Persians, not Arabs. Yet most Iraqis are Arabs that speak Arabic. Actually, there is a closer ethnic physical connection between Israelis and the physical descendants of Abraham and Isaac, plus the Ishmaelites, or Arabs of the Arabian Peninsula, descendants of Abraham and Ishmael. Both Ishmaelites and Israelites are descendants of their common patriarch, forefather, Abraham, making Ishmaelites and Israelites half-brothers. Really? Well, consider again Genesis chapter 17 and verse 18. And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Well, why? According to the 16th chapter of Genesis, Sarai, Abram's wife, decided to help God to build a family since she was barren, unable to produce heirs, sons for Abram. So Sarai gave her maidservant to Abram to build a family through her, and she gave birth to Ishmael, the first son of Abram. But God reaffirmed to Abram that he would have a son and heir by Sarai, even miraculously in her old age of 90. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17 says that Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So Abraham doubted God. Instead, Abraham desired his firstborn son, Ishmael, to receive God's blessing and favor. We should never forget that our God is the same God as Abraham's, and He is the God of impossibilities. He is the all-omnipotent, all-powerful God. He is the all-knowing, omniscient God and ever-present, more than able to help us, but always according to His sovereign will and timing. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19 says in part, "Then God said, 'Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac.'" Isaac means he laughs. So Abraham would be reminded that he laughed and doubted God. Note two truths here. The yes here corresponds to Abraham's plea toward God that Ishmael would live under God's blessing. God stated, yes, he will. Second, obviously, Abraham was the blood father of both sons, first Ishmael, and then also Isaac. So they were half-brothers, having different mothers, Hagar and Sarah. So their descendants are also half-brothers. That Ishmael would have God's blessing is amplified in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 20. "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation." Notice again the word fruitful. Today, in the 21st century, there are more than about 270 million Arabs that consider themselves physical descendants of Abraham through Hagar and later Keturah, his wife probably after Sarah died, according to Genesis chapter 25, and including the descendants of Esau, the son of Isaac, known as Edomites. The father of 12 rulers or princes, their names are listed in Scripture in Genesis chapter 25, verses 13 through 16, beginning with the tribal ruler Nebahath. So, as Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel, so Ishmael had 12 sons and 12 tribes, with the tribes also through Keturah, plus the descendants of Esau, all became known as Arabs, all half-brothers to those who became known as Israelites. Ishmaelites and Israelites are therefore physically related. The Arab peoples today, including 18 predominantly Arab nations that have over 5 million square miles in area, from Morocco, the nation of Morocco in North Africa, to Yemen, the nation of Yemen on the Arabian Peninsula, exactly as Scripture prophesied, predicted thousands of years ago. And many of these same nations are blessed to have large reserves of black gold or oil. God always keeps His promises to the letter, to the dot and tittle of His word. The Bible predicted even more regarding Ishmael and many of his descendants by extension. Regarding Ishmael, in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12, it says, "He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." So wild donkey here would have referred to the untamable desert onager, or wild donkey, fiercely aggressive and stubborn with an independent nature. Arab peoples are notorious for fighting amongst themselves, and certainly fighting against the Israelites, their half-brothers. Certainly, down through the centuries, Ishmaelites and Israelites have fought eventually over the land of Palestine, and especially the holy city of Jerusalem. Today, many Muslims and Jews rarely have anything but animosity and hatred toward one another. Hostility toward all his brothers is again keenly accurate even into the 21st century, as many Arab tribes, clans, and religious Muslim sects continue to fight each other even as Arab brothers. Only fighting the Jews unites them. The physical descendants of Abraham continue the fiercest family feud on earth, prophesied thousands of years ago. The Hatfields and McCoys in Appalachia have made peace. The Irish and the English have made peace. But the Ishmaelites and the Israelites still are eluded by a lasting peace. In Genesis chapter 25, in the listing of the sons of Ishmael, once again we have the sad refrain found in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 18 that says, his descendants settled in an area from Havilah to Shur, near the border of Egypt, as you go toward Ashur, and they lived in hostility toward all their brothers. Yet there are even more amazing, fantastic prophecies and predictions regarding Arab peoples in Scripture. How about the future? Even the distant future on this earth. Between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac, will battles and bloodshed persist without end? There is an amazing prophecy in Isaiah chapter 19 and verses 24 and 25 that says, in that day Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. Wow! Egypt and Syria are today Israel's arch enemies. In that day refers to a yet future physical, political, messianic, millennial kingdom on this earth. For example, consider the context of Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 21 that says in part, so the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord. Have the Egyptians ever predominantly acknowledged the Lord, the one true God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? To this and other content in this context points us to in that day, yet future to today. Israel, along with Egypt, today an Arab nation, and Assyria, today an Arab nation of Syria and Iraq, all who have been arch enemies throughout much of their histories are to be linked together in the future in harmony, even blessed by God the Lord, the God of the Scriptures of the Bible. This fits the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, which says he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This will come to pass when Messiah, Jesus Christ, returns to this earth to reign and rule with a rod, a scepter of iron. Blessed be Egypt, my people, that is God's people. Assyria, my handiwork, that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, in Scripture, these endearing terms are not only applied to Israel. Once Jesus Christ returns to this earth, finally, peace, prosperity, and brotherhood between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac, along with all the other nations, will become believers. Note Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 24 that says in part, a blessing on the earth, not heaven, but also on earth. Possible only because believers will go into the messianic millennial kingdom according to Matthew chapter 25. Lastly, always remember, regardless of ethnicity, anyone not in Christ is part of our mission field. We should be ambassadors for Christ to Arabs who are not Christians. We also have millions of Arab fellow Christians now. And according to God, Arab converts will be a great blessing on earth. Imagine, in the glorious future, ethnic Arabs and ethnic Jews and all people groups will worship together the one true God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It is written. The Word of God cannot be broken. Praise God.
If you were in a typical Church of Christ, there would be a song after the sermon, and you would be invited to make a step of faith to become a Christian. We see that the Bible teaches that a person first needs to really believe in Jesus. The book of Acts shows us that we also need to repent of sin, confess that we are sinners and we need the Savior Jesus, and then be baptized by immersion. We pray that you have done this. If we can help you in a decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free recording of this and last week's program, request program 1910. That's 1910. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172. USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.